So when you come to your Exodus study, what you're going to want to do is this week, before you come back next week, you're going to want to do week two in your Exodus Bible study. You're going to want to sit down with your book. If you have an Exodus ESV scripture journal, use that. Try to use a Bible that, if you're going to use a full Bible as well, try to use a Bible that does not have study notes in it or commentary in it, if at all possible. A lot of times what I do is I use my computer and I go to Bible Gateway online. It's great to use cross references, because sometimes she will have you do cross references, or you will see a cross reference that you want to check out. That's good. But we want to stay away from study notes and commentary until we've completed as much as possible our homework for the week. And so you're going to come to your study with your book, with your Bible or your ESV scripture journal or both. Sometimes you're going to need a dictionary on your phone or a regular dictionary. It's helpful to have your list of attributes of God handy. You're not going to need any colored pencils this semester. And we have no genealogies this semester, so yay, right? But as we approach the scripture, the first thing we want to do, and the most important thing, is comprehension. So whatever the text is, and for next week, our text is Exodus 19, 1 through 20, 21. So the first thing you're going to want to do is read that entire section of scripture. And our weekly studies are broken down in day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You may or may not do it in those days. Sometimes I'll do multiple days in one sitting, depending on what my life schedule is like at the time. But whenever you sit down to do your study, read the entire portion of scripture that week's lesson is covering, because you want to get that scripture in your head. You want to comprehend what's happening. One of the differences between this part two than part one last year is that part one, there was a lot of action. There was a lot of drama. There was a lot going on. It was like a Steven Spielberg action movie. This second section of Exodus, you might find it more difficult. There's more detail. We're going to be covering the Ten Commandments. There's going to be a lot of you shalls and you shall nots. We're going to be covering the instructions for the tabernacle and them building the tabernacle. So it's going to feel not so much like this action movie as more of a documentary or a historical movie or a Ken Burns movie. And so for those of you who like a lot of action and things going on, you might find it a little bit more difficult. It might feel like trudging through mud or quicksand, but I want to encourage you to keep up with it, and I'll tell you in just a little while why the study of these two things is so important. Many people, when they study Exodus, stop right where we are starting. They'll only do the first half of it because, I mean, let's face it, that's pretty exciting stuff that we've been through. But this last half of Exodus is so important. And so I just want to encourage you to do your best every week to do as much of the homework as you can. Don't feel guilty or bad if you come to class with only part of it done, either because your life season, your time schedule didn't allow you to get it done, or you just didn't know the answer to the questions. That's okay. I never want you to not come because your homework wasn't done and you feel like you feel guilty or you're going to be shamed because your homework wasn't done. I've been in those kind of Bible studies. I've been that person that didn't come because my homework wasn't done, and we don't want that to be the case. Because if you read the text and if you read it multiple times through the week, you're going to have a certain understanding of what's going on. You may not know what it means, you may not have interpretation down, but you're going to comprehend what's going on. Okay, I know that God gave Moses these Ten Commandments. I'm not sure what they all mean, but he gave them to Moses, and Moses gave them to the people, and this is what's happened in this text. So that's the most important thing, is comprehension, that you have an idea of what's going on. If you know that, then when you come on Tuesday, even if you didn't get to the homework, or even if some of your questions aren't filled in, you're going to be able to participate in the discussion. Because you're going to like, oh yeah, I remember reading that. Okay, so that is the most important thing, is comprehension. The second thing that we're going to be looking at, and Jen's going to walk us through these three things by asking us certain questions. Excuse me. The second thing is interpretation. What does it mean? So comprehension is, what does it say? And interpretation is, what does it mean? And she's going to ask us questions to help us get to that. One thing that she is known for is asking you to paraphrase the text. Paraphrase means that you're going to read a certain portion of text, maybe Exodus 19, 1 through 6, and you're going to write out in your words what it says. Not what it means necessarily, but what it says, what's happening in that text, okay? And by you paraphrasing it, you're making it more your own. You're, again, learning, what is that text saying? What is that text saying? So many Bible study methods today, and I've heard of even small groups doing this, they get the text, they gather together, and the first question they ask is, what do you think the text is saying? And that is not what we want to do with Scripture, because most of us are not biblical scholars. Most of us don't really know what the text is saying or what it means, or what it means to us. And so what we want to do is just read it as plainly as possible in the context that we find it in, and take from the text itself, what is it saying? And I'll give some examples of that in a few minutes when we get into our text. So comprehension, and then interpretation. What does it mean? And Jen is famous for saying this. She says, don't be afraid to dwell in the unknown. She's going to ask you some questions, and you're going to go, huh? Or, I have no idea what she's asking. I have no idea what she means. You're just like a total blank. And that is fine. Or it may be, I'm not sure how to word it. I'm not sure what to put down. That is fine. She wants us to dwell in the unknown because it causes us to think about it and wrestle with the text. And that's okay. Too many times we are so reticent, and especially with computers and smartphones and Google, you know, we can get the answer right away. I was down at my brother's during the holidays, and we were watching an older movie. I can't even remember now what we were watching, but we were watching an older movie, and I was sitting next to my nephew, who's he's an adult in his 40s, early 40s, and he was like, okay, who's that actor? And I'm like, oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, that's so-and-so. They were in this, you know, they were in this old TV show. Oh, that's right. I don't know why I have this useless trivia in my head, but I do, right? So, and my husband and I used to love to do this, but we don't do that as much anymore. Why? Who's that actor? Oh, I don't know. Just a minute. Let me see. Hey, Google, Google has all the answers that we need, right? And that's sometimes what we want to do when we do our Bible homework, our Bible study. Oh, I don't know the answer. I'm going to look at the study notes at the bottom of my Bible. Or I'm going to ask Google, what does this third new moon thing mean? Or I'm going to, you know, ask Google, what does this word mean? Okay, we want to be okay. The goal is to be okay with not knowing. All right. The goal is to be okay with not knowing and not having all the answers. Because when you come together, I can guarantee you somebody here is going to have the answer to that, or the teaching will probably address whatever that question is. Or as we get more into the book, those answers will become apparent to us. Or eventually, you can look up in your commentaries and find the answers to the questions, okay? But more than that, we want to be okay with not having all the answers. So it's okay to dwell into the unknown. And so comprehension, Interpretation. What interpretation is, what does the text mean? And that's what we're going to be talking about a lot in our small group time. And then application. And Jen is also going to ask you questions about application. And that's going to come at the end of every day's lesson. She's going to ask you her main question that she asks every time is, what does this teach me about who? God, right? Too often, and we've said this before, you've heard me say it many times, we approach Scripture asking Scripture to tell me about myself, how to live my life, should I buy a new car, how should I spend my money, how should I discipline my children, where the first question we should ask is, what does Scripture tell me about God? Because as we come to know God, then we come to know ourselves better. We see that God is loving and merciful and just always. We see that we are not, and that we are to be more like Him. And so we learn about ourselves. And then we're going to ask ourselves, what does this teach me about God? And then how do we see ourselves in the light of this? And then the ultimate application question, how do we live our lives differently because of this? And so she's going to ask you almost every day, definitely every week, those application questions. But they come later. They come later. First, we want to be able to understand what the text is saying. Excuse me a minute here.